And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
Damien, we have to talk about Conor Whelan. My God, what a beast of a man he is. Like, I mean, I don't even know where to start with him. We know that he's built like a tank. His two goals are out of the very top drawer. He chases lads down and practically bullies them to take the ball off them. Like, I mean, he's turned into a beast of a man.
Yeah, well, I've been talking about Conor Whelan now, Colin, for a long time. So he's been Galway's best forward for the last 2 years. So he was a sensational minor. His last year as a minor hurler, so he basically carried a Galway minor team on his own. So he was tightly marked against Limerick in the All-Ireland final 2 years ago, and it was his goal that really brought Galway back into it that game as well. But the man's an animal. So he's an absolute animal. He's a beast. He's a tank. So he worked hard for the team. And like, I was critical of the Galway hurlers in the last couple of weeks that they're not scoring goals. But the only goal-scoring threat for Galway in the last 2-3 years has been Whelan. You know, and he's the only one that's prepared every time to get the ball to drop the shoulder and take on the man. And like, his two goals yesterday were unbelievable, but the second goal in particular, the one where he basically manhandled Ronan Maher, you know. And like, Ronan Maher is a big, strong, physical man, and he got around him and got away from him. So he did, and it was the finish. But he's lethal. So he's lethal. And like, you could play Whelan out centre forward, he'd be equally as effective. But I think Galway kind of has to play him inside, so because they need a goal threat, which sometimes can be a disadvantage for the likes of Whelan. But he's a top class forward. I've been raving about him for a while. He reminds of a younger Joe Cooney. So he would left hand down top. He's a great player.
Yeah, because he played the first half. He burst onto the scene as a wing forward, didn't he? And then he played yesterday in the first half out in the half forward line. They used him very well yesterday. They had him out in the half forward line against the wind, and he did a lot of work. And then in the second half, they played him inside. We'll talk about the game a bit more in part two. But like, I mean, you're right. The second goal was just unbelievable. The catch was unreal. He caught it like in midair and then took it around Ronan Maher, played it into his hand, and there was a big swerve on that goal from a really impossible angle.
Yeah, the big thing about him, Colin, is he has to win his own ball. So yeah. And he's a big, strong man, and he's not afraid to put up the hand. Like, and even that goal against Limerick in the All-Ireland final 2 years ago, like, he caught that ball as well. So he did, and he put it into the back of the net. He's able to win his own ball, but the big thing about him is he's extremely comfortable on the ball. Colin, and the one thing about him is you watch him in all the games, when he gets the ball, his first instinct is to turn and hit for goal.
Yeah.
As in to turn and go towards the goal post. Where an awful lot of forwards, they sometimes get the ball and they'll drift back out the field to take maybe the easier score. But he burst onto the scene. Cunningham brought him into the squad, so he did. He burst onto the scene, so he did. He was straight in corner forward, so he was with Galway. And he's a super finisher as well with the ball. Like, I think last year he got 5 or 6 points in one game from play. So he's a massive goal threat for Galway. And you said to play him out the field in the first half because he's so comfortable on the ball to help out. But in the second half, when they knew they had the wind in Pier Stadium, they played him inside and launched ball into him. And he had a brilliant game. And he's also Galway Hurler of the Year. Just to, people might know that. He won Galway Hurler of the Year last year, so he did, and he was well deserving of it. You know, and he's a massive part of Kinvara Hurling Club, and like, he's been carrying them for the last couple of years, and he's a genuine fella, and he's a genuine hurling young lad, so he is, and I'm delighted for him.
Yeah, no, his outstanding stuff is just the way he's able to bully lads off. In the second half, Ronan Maher had 4 or 5 yards on him, and you could see Conor Whelan hunting him down, and I'd say Ronan Maher knew, and the minute Whelan got any bit of contact on him, Ronan Maher was all over the place, and he ended up robbing the ball off him. Like, I mean, he had no right to win that ball. Like, he's a real fan's favourite from that point of view. Come here, have you ever seen a team like Limerick? They're almost like the Globetrotters of hurling. I've never seen a team do as many flicks and as many fancy bits and pieces, and not in a showboating way, all effective flicks. We have Garrod Hegarty does it all the time. He did it the other night. We had Dempsey. We had David Dempsey. He chopped it back up into his hand. Then we had Boyle in the wing forward put it between his legs for a point for Graham Mulcahy. Like, have you ever seen a team do this as much on a consistent basis in league hurling?
Yeah, probably not when you're after bringing it to my attention. Probably not. But that Limerick team, Colm, are incredibly skillful. And they're all young lads. It's just, it's unbelievable. But I'd say myself, Canorca is the trainer there, as you know, and the coach. I wouldn't be surprised if he had them doing stuff like this just to have it in their locker for the day of matches. Like, Keane Lynch has been doing flicks constantly. So yeah. He has, you know, and like, they're just unbelievably skillful team. So they are, and they're strengthening their team and strengthening their squad again this year. So they are. And I was extremely impressed just on the Limerick water. I was extremely impressed with David Dempsey the other day at full forward. I think he's going to nail down a position at full forward. But they've got so much talent; it's unbelievable. So no more than Mulcahy, the other corner forward. Like that guy was finished 3 years ago until Canor came on the scene, and now the man is just absolutely flying it.
Yeah.
So it is lovely. It's lovely to see, and they'll only get better when the ground gets harder. There'll be more flicks and more skill level here, when the ground gets harder during summer.
But here's the thing. Any intercounty hurler would probably be able to do that, but maybe they're not encouraged to do it. Because I saw Angus Clark yesterday. He got fouled going through and the ball was just on the ground. He just put his foot against the ball and flicked it up off his foot back up into the air. Like, any intercounty player can chop down on the ball back up into his hand, can't he? You see them doing it before the match. But the Limerick seem to encourage their players to express themselves with this kind of skill and trickery during games, which I don't know about you, I wouldn't have seen that before.
Yeah, it can be done, but not many players will try it in the match. Colm, look at with during training sessions or after training sessions when you're putting the ball around or whatever, you'll be messing around with the little stick of the boot with the hurling snapped up into your hand or all this sort of stuff, right? But you wouldn't try it much in the match. Maybe Limerick encouraged the lads to hurl off the cuff and hurl with a bit of freedom and that type of stuff, right? But the answer is you won't see much of it. You won't see much of it in the modern day game, and you'll see less of it when it comes to championship, because the championship will hype up another an ounce of intensity, so you won't see much of it. But yeah, they're probably told, as you said, to hurl off the cuff and whatever they feel free to do, you know, and they probably encourage that just to get the best out of the lads.
Yeah, the Grod Hegarty goal was a thing of beauty. I think it was Dan Morrissey started it off with a brilliant catch and he played it back in field. It ended up with Keane Lynch. It ended up down with Aaron Galan. It ended up back out with Keane Lynch again. And then a lovely diagonal ball to David Dempsey, who's got a great pair of hands, and he lays it off to Grod Hegarty running through, bang, goal. Like, this is just, for me, Limerick are just on another level to everybody else.
But that didn't just happen by accident, Colm. That's the type of drills they're doing at training. I'm telling you here now, they're doing drills that they're hitting the ball hand to hand, 20, 30, 40 yards at drills on the move, moving, ball being struck to another man. He catches it, hand passes to another lad coming through at pace, another stick pass to a lad 20 yards. That happens down at training in Limerick. I'm telling you, that stuff doesn't just happen the day of a match. They're being, that's called ball hand drills, and that stuff is unbelievable. But same with Jason Ford's goal against Tipperary. Stuff has been practiced. A lovely ball hit straight into his hand, 25, 30 yards, cutting the man out of it like this with a stick pass in the back of it. That's intercounty. That's the best way for me to describe the difference between intercounty training and club training. You're able to do it at a different level and you're expected different standards. But that stuff, if you went to an intercounty training with Limerick, I will guarantee you there's cones all over the pitch and lads are hitting balls to cone. Another lad is moving, another lad's catching, another lad's hand pass, and next thing there could be a shooting drill.
Yeah.
So that didn't just happen by freak, but it was an absolutely gorgeous piece of play. It was a lovely hurling.
And it was Keane Darcy gave in that ball to Jason Ford. It was a beautiful ball because the point was on for him, and you know, a lot of new fellas on the scene would try and take their point there. But the reason for that,
Colm, is they like the Liam Sheedy and the Eamon O'Shea's and these guys. They're preaching about the team play, and what happened is, Darcy got the ball, right, and he gave it in, as you know, to Jason Flynn, and Flynn put him back. Them two players got praised after the match or at half-time. And when you praise a lad for doing the right thing, he will continue to do the right thing. But there is managers out there, they'll only praise the lad that got the score.
Yeah.
So it's all good practice, and it's all about the team. But yeah, that's what's been preached. The man in the better position to get the ball. We need to score goals, create goals. There is opportunities for teams to get goals, and sometimes they're taking their handy pint. But they were two lovely goals over the weekend.
Yeah, out of the top, very top drawer. So Offaly got shell shocked yesterday. This was unbelievable stuff. They're 6 points up going into injury time. Two goals from Neil McManus and Conor McCann in injury time, and it was a draw. At the end, obviously Antrim went through. Offaly needed a win, so it's Antrim and Kerry. So Offaly don't go up, back up to Division 1, which is a huge kick in the arse to them, you know, after assembling a good backroom team. But there's some controversy, and this has been going on in Gaelic football as well, Damien. So the referee played 6 minutes of injury time. Now, Michael Deignan's even disputing the 6 minutes. I don't know where he found 6 minutes in the second half and then played another two, but that's hurling, Deignan said. Now, so he played the 6 minutes of injury time, and then within that 6 minutes, there's two extra minutes on the top of that six. Now, without having seen the game, we don't know exactly, but referees are doing this now. They're stopping the clock in the injury time and adding extra injury time on top of the injury time, and it creates an awful lot of confusion within the ground because nobody really knows what it's about.
Well, I think that's amazing, being just straight. All I know is what they say is when you put on a sub, 30 seconds you can add on, you know. But just to say that there was 6 minutes additional time and then another 2 minutes, like, just sometimes it's hard to believe where they get this. You know, and it's not fair either on teams where the additional time comes from. But as I said, I don't know myself, Colin, but it's 30 seconds per sub. So if they brought on all their subs, but where the extra time, and it was a big kick up the backside off the yesterday, they would have been expected to win that game. And with a very good management team put in place, they would expect it to, you know, push on and get up into the next division. But that's a huge setback for them, so it is.
Yeah, I think it's 20 seconds per sub. I need to check that. But I definitely take your point. I don't know where it came out of. And, like, I mean, when you look at Offaly's league, they obviously would have hit the league hard. There's no way they wanted to stay in that division. And they lost to Kerry by 6 points, drew with Antrim, and they struggled over Meath. You know, so it definitely hasn't been a good start for Offaly. But one county it has been a good start has been Westmeath, and we're going to have to leave it there, Damien, because we know obviously Westmeath beat Carlow to avoid relegation yesterday, and their manager Shane O'Brien joins us on the line now. Shane, how's it going?
Good now, Colm. Yeah, thanks. All good this morning. Anyway,
any celebrations last night?
Yeah, I'm sure there was. I'm sure the lads had a good night, all right. But I don't really tend to get involved with that side of things. I let them at it. So hopefully they enjoyed themselves anyway. They deserved the night out to celebrate. And it was well earned anyway.
They definitely did deserve it. It was a convincing win, really, wasn't it, Shane? Like, I mean, it was 1-17 to 2-8. But you were in control for most of the game, other than it maybe a little dodgy part in the second half when Carla got the two goals.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was... I suppose we made hard work of it there in the second half, there's no doubt about it. But I wouldn't say we were comfortable, but we put in a good, consistent performance. First half in particular, I felt we were very strong and played very well against the Breeze. And it gave us some bit of a cushion going into the second half. But look, they, like any game, they had their purple patch in the second half and they kind of caused us a few problems. We leaked two goals, but we fair to the lads that they stuck at it and kept their composure at the end, and we came away with a crucial win.
Yeah, the second goal was a bizarre goal. I haven't seen an OG like that before. I'm sure Angus got the brunt of a bit of slagging in the dressing room after the match.
Oh, he did. And Joey Boyle being the first man to congratulate him on it. So, look, Angus, he's absolutely outstanding, both on and off the pitch. And what a game he had again yesterday. He's just been so consistent throughout this whole league campaign. No matter what's been thrown at him, he always responds. And He's just an absolutely exceptionally gifted hurler, and we're very lucky to have him.
Killian Doyle, another exceptionally gifted hurler, 114 yesterday. Like, he gave an exhibition. I think maybe the most impressive was the sideline he got, and that was at a really crucial part of the game, you know, after those Carlow goals.
Yeah, it was. He did something very similar in last year's Joe McDonough final in Croke Park, but when you don't win games, these things are forgotten about, you know. But we know that he has those skills. And his free taking yesterday was superb again. And you know, Killian has had a tough few weeks and months. He's had an operation that he spent a good few months in rehab, and then he came back. He played one game and he broke a bone in his hand after about 15 minutes. So then he was out again for another few games, but he's come back and still has a bit of work to do with his fitness. He knows that himself, but he'll come good now in the summer again, I'm sure.
Jesus, if he wasn't at full fitness yesterday, he's in a good place anyways, if he's scoring 114 like that.
Now you have it, absolutely.
And come here, do you plan for the conditions like that, Shane? Because, you know, you might have a style of play and a way you like to, you know, you like the team to play, and then you have a gale force wind in your back, and all of a sudden is there a temptation to maybe change that a little bit, or, you know, or even against the wind, the opposite?
Yeah, funnily enough, I think nearly in all of our games we've had those type of conditions.
Yeah, in the league.
As you see up and down the country in all the National League games. And especially in venues like Salt Hill, and that there always seems to be a wind in there. But you know, the bizarre thing about Westmead is traditionally the lads themselves are very keen to play the first half against the breeze, and they like playing against the breeze, that type of hurling that they play, you know. So yeah, you do have to take that into consideration. And certainly in the second half, the last thing we wanted to do was to be taking shots from ridiculous angles and from ridiculous distances, even though there was one man who proved us all wrong and did that in Killian. But he, as you said, he's an outstanding game and some super scores.
So, Camira, I saw you saying after the game, I don't think we can underestimate how significant it was for the development of hurling for the Westmead public to see us playing against the top teams. Like, I mean, a lot of people, including me, would say it's very unfair to throw Westmead in with those, you know, other All-Ireland, you know, the last three All-Ireland champions and all these really strong teams, that it might be fairer to put you potentially in 1B with Laois and, you know, Laois and Dublin and Carlow or whatever. You think being in with those teams has had a brilliant effect on everything?
Yeah, I was saying to somebody after the game yesterday, the bizarre thing is, despite the fact that we took some heavy defeats and that, the morale in the camp was hugely positive, and you know, there's been a fantastic atmosphere in all the training sessions, and Frank Flannery has been driving the training, and Paddy and the lads, and you know, every single session there still is that buzz coming away both before and after the training, and it's a credit to everybody involved that they remained upbeat. And I think that was one of the biggest challenges we had from the get-go, facing into, as you said, the last three All-Ireland champions. We were always very conscious of, you know, the possible damage that heavy defeats could cause, but you know, the lads themselves, as you saw, we're very close to pulling off a big scalp against Cork, and we were very, very close against Limerick as well down there. So we put in some fantastic performances, had one or two off days as well, especially against Galway the first day out. But I think that was the biggest challenge, to have that, you know, I suppose to maintain that positive spirit within the setup, you know.
Yeah. So do you think, obviously playing against all those really top teams and experiencing, you know, their speed of touch and, you know, their skill levels and all the rest of it, then when you go back to playing Carlow, and this is no disrespect to Carlow, Carlow are on Laois and Westmead's level, you know, did you see your team being a level better than they had been last year, for example?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt about it. Like anything in life, once, you know, if you're performing with people that are a little bit better than you, it does bring your game on once you're not annihilated, which we certainly were not. But no disrespect to some of the teams we played last year, but like this time last year we were playing London and Mayo, and you know, there's absolutely no comparison to going down to Semple Stadium playing the All-Ireland champions and trying to, you know, put yourselves up against these top class teams.
The whole thing, and that is it, you avoided hammerings, and so you took positives out of probably every game. Maybe Galway game was probably the worst beating, but like you said, against Cork, Waterford and Limerick, you came out of those, even though you lost them, saying that there were really good performances, so you were lucky in that regard. Like, I mean, I often say to Cheddar Plunkett here on the show, who's always banging the drum for the weaker counties, is getting the experience of playing the top teams better, or is the, you know, the improvement you'll get from playing the top teams, does that balance out against the lack of morale from losing all the time or getting hammered? You know what I mean? It's a difficult one.
Yeah, I just think, personally, I think once you're competitive and thereabouts, there's always going to be learnings from these games. And the first day out was going to be a massive adjustment psychologically as much as anything else. There was a lot of pressure on us going to play Galway away from home. They had a new management team, Shane O'Neill, and we knew what we were up against. But at the same time, there was a lot of uncertainty as well, you know. And I think once we got that out of the way, the lads then kind of got a bit of confidence within themselves and saw, yeah, look, there's nothing really to fear here as such, you know?
Yeah, because I suppose often it's the fear of not knowing and not having played them. Like the Westmeath lads realised that we're not that far away.
Yeah, and it went from that, you know, hoping, I suppose, to expecting performances then. Like we were hoping for a performance the first day out. But from then on, we were kind of expecting them to deliver because we knew what they were capable of. And I suppose for their own selves, for the players to see that as well, you know.
Yeah. So how are you enjoying the management side of it? You obviously worked as a coach with Joe Quaid. You were the coach, obviously, sure, for him. You have Frank Flannery in now as your coach. So you're just managing now. Managers now have so many people to organise. You probably don't have time to coach yourself.
I absolutely love coaching, but Frank has that main responsibility this year, but I obviously helped out and so did the other coaches. But no, I adore every minute of it, to be perfectly honest with you. And it's such a privileged position to be in, and it's an honour to lead a group like this. And, you know, what more would you want to be putting yourselves up against the top teams in the country? And as I said, no, I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. So Frank Flannery, obviously, he worked under Kieran Kingston. You have Alan Cairns in there. In fairness to you, you've put together a pretty good backroom team. Like, I mean, there's a sports psychology in that in itself, that the players look at that and go, Jesus, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things this year, we have, you know, such a great balance within the management team. And as you see, the level of expertise, the likes of Alan Kearns and Brendan Murta, Paul Greville, Paddy O'Neill and Frank Flannery, you know, these are all fellas that have done so much in the game and, you know, I'd be looking up to them. But again, there's no egos. And as I said, we gel so well together and we're working very, very well together.
I saw an interesting quote. You had a piece in The Independent. You said you felt you overanalyzed things as a player. I was quite nervous playing. It was the whole fear of making mistakes, the fear of being criticized. That restricted me. Like, I mean, I'm sure maybe you're not a pushover as a manager, but are you able to, you know, give them a bollocking when you want to, or do you kind of use your own experiences?
I cringe when I hear that stuff back, but anyway. So, you need a mixture of personalities within the dressing room, and that's one of the great things. I think we choreograph it well between us. You know, we can, as I said, everybody brings different strengths to it. But what was your question again, Barry?
Well, like, I mean, I suppose the fear of being criticised. Like, I mean, managers have to be critical at times.
I know that was more as a player when I think I was reflecting back as a player. Look, I'm well able to take criticism, and you have to take it when you're, you know, in a position like this. But as a player, I just felt I kind of crumbled a little bit under pressure and didn't respond well to criticism. So I think the angle I was coming at with that was more to do with maybe having a bit of empathy as a manager and understanding that lads, you know, we've all different personalities in the dressing rooms, and some fellas might like a belt of a hurl across the table, or a shout and a roar. Another fellow might need an arm around the shoulder, you know.
Yeah,
or you might have the approach like that buck down in Kerry, with fellas in the ground and whatnot else.
So a little birdie told me you might have had a little bit of help up in the stand in Cusick Park yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. We were very fortunate to have a man up there who has incredible experience and who's highly, highly thought of by the players and management. Like Michael Ryan, the former Westmeath manager, was up with us. He's in regular contact with me, but he offered to come up and help out with the stats up in the stand, would you believe? So he was up there analysing the opposition, and he was in our team meetings in the dressing room afterwards, and the players just absolutely adore him. But what a man, where would you get it? Like he's incredible. His whole passion is just so infectious, and he's so genuine and built up such a relationship with these players, you know. So it's a credit to both the team and obviously to him that he's willing to do such a thing, you know.
Yeah, geez, that's fantastic altogether. So he would have given you stats at half time. Like, imagine a former manager being humble enough to go up into a stand and do stats.
Now you have it. He's just the most humble man. And, you know, back in November, we did a charity event, a fantastic night. And of course, Michael offers his services, comes up from Waterford and kept the whole place entertained for the night. But no, he's an absolutely fantastic man. But it just shows you within the GAA, you have so many different you know, characters that are so supportive. And even in my own club, Coola, I've fellas coming up from Dublin to support me. And we'd another man there, Dublin Jerry, who goes to all the Dublin matches, who was supporting Westmead for the last few games as well. So it's fantastic to see all the support.
Oh, I know Dublin Jerry well from outside Croke Park, a great character.
Yeah, well, Dublin Jerry was in about our dressing room yesterday anyway, so he's a fantastic character.
Jeez, you'll
fantastic
turn it.
Was he... be all sorts of documents and whatnot.
Right, he'd melt now if he put on any jersey other than a Dublin jersey, I'm sure.
Oh, he had the Dublin coat over the knees down to the ankles nearly, with the Arnott sponsorship on it. But what a man, he's absolutely fantastic. He's been at some of our training sessions as well, but they're the characters you need in the GAA. And as I said, Michael Ryan the same, you know.
Yeah,
fantastic men, humble, and you know, that's what keeps us all going.
So what's the plan now? You're finished pretty early. Like, I mean, the counties in quarterfinals have the quarter, semi and finals, they've got three matches left. You're done now until the Joe McDonough.
Yeah, look, it's a very tricky thing to manage from a logistical perspective. You know, we have to, like, we kind of have a provisional plan put together, but we're not out, as you said, we're not out now until the 8th or 9th of May, you know, so it's a massive gap, and we have to let the players go back to their clubs to prepare for their club championships, both hurling and football. So we're very much restricted, and I know some of the other counties don't have club championship, but it's not ideal. And I think, you know, this debate has been going on for so long now with the whole club and county thing, but this is definitely a challenge for us, you know, going forward now, the logistical challenges, but we'll get over it anyway.
Well, that's it, because you know that you like, momentum is such a big thing, and you've got great momentum. I'm sure if you were training now tomorrow night, there would be a great buzz at training. You're staying up, you've beaten Carlow, who are a bit of a bogey team at times for you. You know, you've put it up to some of the big teams. That's what you need to build on. But it's difficult to build on it, I suppose, when you're almost finishing this season and starting another one for the Joe McDonough.
Yeah, that's essentially what it is. You know, you have two seasons and you have to kind of start again. And we'll look at our focus. I'm going to be sitting down with Mike Frawley, the strength and conditioning coach, and look at how we're going to plan that out. Mike has great experience with Wexford and Clare, where he worked with David Fitzgerald. So, you know, we'll look and see what we're going to do from a physical perspective. And then we'll look at our training and hurling, from a hurling perspective as well.
Yeah, so just to finish up, the Joe McDonough takes on extra significance really this year, because there's a six-team Leinster Championship, you know, next year. So, like, I mean, there's a chance of going into Leinster and staying in it.
Yeah. Look, I think if you look at all the teams in the Joe McDonough, there's very, very little between them. You know, there's a toss of a coin between nearly all of the teams. You know, you have Antrim, you have Kerry, where we got beaten by Kerry last year in Mullingar, and we were very lucky. We had a fantastic performance to beat Antrim, but they're a top class team. And then obviously we have Carlow again, and local neighbours, local rivals, Meath. So all of those games are going to, you know, be huge challenges for us, but we'll embrace them and look forward to them anyway.
Yeah, well, listen, Shane, thanks very much for taking the call, and I hope you bridge the whatever 9-week gap, and you're back ready for the Joe McDonough. All the best.
Spot on. Thanks to me.
And the game takes on, can very, very often, and take on a life of its own. What's tactics? I mean, you've got to make decisions, and you've got to decide what you're going to do, and at the end of the day, you hand it over to the players, and the players play, you know? The game was fast, was furious, it had everything, really, you know, and you don't have too much influence on what's happening. What happened last year, it goes out the window, or the year before, or whenever it was. Tipperary, don't go away. The air is the air. And the game takes on, can very, very often, and take on a life of its own.
So Galway 3:21, Tipperary 3:13. This was a great game, Damien, wasn't it? Like, you would know, in comparison to other games we've seen on Sundays, that there was something proper riding on this.
Oh, you what? This was kind of a bit of tempo now. Yeah. So it was, you know, and I was worried about Galway now at half time, because Tip were after taking a bit of a lead, and you know, even though Galway were hurling quite well, they were getting points on the board.
Yeah.
But as you know, we're after leaking goals to John McGrath. And being honest with you, I'd say Eamon O'Shea and Liam Sheedy would have been a bit disappointed with John McGrath. He didn't score a third one. you know. But for viewers that weren't there, there was an awful wind, and there was a couple of awful showers, and the wind was going down, as we call it, to the Tipperary, we'll say, to John McGrath in the first half, which Galway availed of that wind in the second half, which we said they put in Conor Whelan in the second half. But there was a bit of bite in this now. There was a bit of tempo in it. And I think Galway needed to win it more, especially just from momentum, and they're blooding a lot of players. And plus, the game was at home. So I think it was an important win for Galway. I was surprised, being honest, that they won it by so much, particularly at half time. But it was a great win. And the likes of Whelan was a massive, massive plus to the win in that game.
Yeah, but look, I mean, I think you're right. I think Galway were the better team right throughout the game. I think the goals flattered Tipperary a little bit. I thought even against the wind, Galway played very well. Like, I mean, you know, they gave as good as they got in that first half. It was just some poor defending, you know, that they ended up conceding three goals.
But that was it. It was just defending that was letting them down. And, like, McGrath got two goals. He should have scored a third. And then Jason Ford got the third one. And they, you know, but Galway were hurling well. Like, they had way more points scored than Tipperary. They were hurling well. But we were lucky then that we had the wind in the second half, Galway had. And we put what we call our dangerous players inside and got ball down to them. So then, and Galway really made hay in the second half. But they wanted to win it more, I think. I think the rumour is that Tipperary are gone in the training camp or training week this week. So with them gone on that now, they'll train a lot harder as opposed to having to go play Wexford now at the weekend. But I think the Wexford-Galway game now the weekend, that'll be a big test now for Galway. And it's great to be getting these tests, especially for the younger players, because Shane O'Neill will learn a lot more about the lads who are, and the lads are going quite well now, to be fair. They were under fierce pressure 3 weeks ago. Now they're in a quarter final, which is good for Galway, and it was good for them to win and crack up a lot of scores and score goals.
Yeah, what did you make of McInerney at full-back there? And obviously Killeen was taken off and Darren Morrissey, you know, was under pressure. I think he swapped across onto John McGrath after the first goal.
He did.
Paul Killeen was left for that.
He's a good player, that Morrissey. He was captain of the Galway Miners, I think, was it 2 or 3 years ago. He's from Sarsfield. Very, very good player. And McInerney, what I like about McInerney, you could play McInerney sitting forward and tell him what you want done and the instructions, and he will do it. That's the one thing. He's a brilliant, brilliant attitude. But he's playing full back. He told to mark Shamie Canlan, and he done a brilliant man-marking job on Shamie Canlan. So it's given options to O'Neill where he wants to play Dahi Burke, maybe centre-back. You know, just even an option. Or yeah, even put Dahi Burke out wing-back or whatever. But McInerney's a great lad.
He didn't deal with a couple of high balls, though, did he? Like, a couple of the John McGrath's second goal came off a high ball that dropped into the square and it wasn't dealt with. Yeah. And there was another ball dropped in around there. I don't think anything came off it, but I don't know. I thought Dahi Burke, you know, is coming out and he's batting those away, or he's catching those.
Yeah, well, you're probably right on that, right? But the ball broke. You know, maybe the argument is our cornerback should have done a bit better on John McGrath there. But you are right. Okay, he didn't deal with that ball very well. But look, what I like about it is it may be another option. If, for example, if Galway need a powerhouse to come out into centre-back 20 minutes that they can throw back McInerney, it's just giving another option to the team. But yeah, I like McInerney. I think he's able to do a job. And the one thing I like about him, when he comes out with the ball in the full back line, he'll give a little stick pass or he'll throw a hand pass to one of the wing back. But it's just another option. And this is the time to look at these options in the league. But on that, I think he did very well on Shamie Canlan. I know Shamie Canlan has to get back to his full fitness and match sharp, but he did pretty well in them now.
Yeah, no, he definitely did. Well, I think Canlan was out in the half-forward line at the start and then went back in to the full forward line. One thing that I thought was very poor from Tipperary's point of view, it was 2-on-2 inside. So they left in Conor Whelan and Con Cannon, who ran amok in the second half with the wind, a strong wind. Now, was that not a weird one? Liam Sheedy said after the game, obviously it was 2-on-2 inside and they exposed us today, and that's something we have to take away and learn. Now, for both goals, you can see Conor Whelan scoring and Paddy Maher desperately attempting to get back, but Nyland being in the shot as well. So Paddy's obviously staying on Nyland as long as he can. And then, would it not have been a day with the wind to leave somebody full? I know Tipperary don't do sweepers, but Christ, away from home against a wind like that, would it not be time to leave a covering player back there?
So I will, yeah, and usually leave Pádraig Maher back. But you're right, there was a huge wind there and they had a bit of a lead. They should have kind of dropped a man back, and like Whelan and Kilcannon were making hay inside, like they were causing huge problems. And then Mannion was kind of growing into the game, so he was, you know. And we can't forget either Evan Nyland. Like he had a great little game. I know he's small, and he's actually a brilliant free taker, but he was very heavily involved. He was very lively, but Tipperary were naive. They were. They genuinely were naive. They were under pressure. But as the saying is, they're on about, they learn from it. They need to learn from it, because Galway pushed on. And once Whelan got the goal, there was no letting up then. So Galway really pushed on and won it. But especially against the wind, they should have played an extra man back, or they should have pulled everyone back a notch. But maybe it was good. Maybe it was good game management by the Galway players. Maybe they pulled out the field a little bit and created a lot of space inside for the Kilcannons and the Conor Whelans and the Evan Nylands, you know. But Evan Nyland was kind of roaming, you know. So it was good. It was good game management. Maybe it was a good game plan by Shane O'Neill.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was good to leave the two of them inside. And some of the ball that they gave into them was outstanding. Like, I mean, I know a big frustration from you is halfbacks, especially with the temptation of a strong wind, is halfbacks and midfielders getting it and driving it, trying to go drive it over the bar. And sometimes they go over, sometimes they don't. It was some controlled performance by Galway to give in those lovely diagonal balls, always in the forward's favour. Kilcannon looked like he was a ball winner, when I don't think he's a ball winner, but he is when the ball is suiting him. Do you know what I mean? And some of his skill was great. But like Galway definitely looked like they were coached really well on the type of quality ball two lads like them want inside.
Colm, you talk to any defender in the county or in the country, right? The worst ball you can get as a defender is a ball that's been hit diagonally at what I call a 70-30 ball in the favour of the forward. And just to give one example of yesterday's piece of play, David Burke got a ball yesterday and he just looked up and he seen Kilcannon in the far corner and he drove the ball 70-30 out. So Kilcannon had that 5 yards to beat his man, controlled it, and he had drove it over the bar over his shoulder. But they're the worst type of ball for any defender to get. And it's okay sometimes when you're Conor Whelan, for example, is able to win his own ball. But some lads like to get the 70-30 ball. Like I wasn't always the strongest in the year. But when the ball was on the ground, I used to always favour myself to win the ball. So, but the 70-30 ball, and you're 100% right, that didn't just happen by accident. That's been spoken about in the dressing room. David Ford with Galway and Fergal Healy are both selectors. They both played in the forward line. So it would be discussed. And 70-30 ball, did you ever hear the saying, Colm, there's no such thing as a bad ball? That's the greatest load of horse dung that I ever heard in GAA. Like, there is a thing as a good ball and a bad ball. And it was brilliant to see Galway looking up and hitting in what I call a 70-30 ball and in favour of the forward. And we got scores from it.
Yeah, so that's something Galway can build on then, Whelan and Kilcannon inside with some nice ball being whacked down into both corners for their movement. Like, I mean, is that a starting point now for Galway moving forward? Am I judging too much on one performance by Kilcannon? Although he's played pretty well this league, I think. It's not just an isolated good game by him.
And being honest with you, he was the start of the forwards taking on the ball and creating goals. So he was. He's not a bad runner at all. So he's not. And like he's only going to improve, Con. You know, he still has to build up a little bit. He's some climber daily. He's a good forward. He's lively and he's not afraid to take a score either. But yeah, you need to build on something. Limerick are at it now for a long time in what I call the 70-30 ball. They like the Mulcahy.
Yeah.
So it is. Is really, really gaining off it. Like, but this hit and hope, me as a coach, right, I will accept a hit and hope if you're under severe pressure. But sometimes you're not under severe pressure like this, and all of a sudden you're hitting. And you know who can be very wasteful at times, just when we go back to the Galway Tip game, is Pádraig Maher. He can often score two or three great points, but he can often hit two or three long range rides. I'd say it can be very frustrating for the Shamie Canlan or the Jason forwards of this world, but like there has to be a game plan, and the game plan has to be seen to, you know. And Galway played very well yesterday. It was a great win for them, but hopefully they can build on it. But the big challenge against Wexford, so it is next day. Big challenge.
I think you're right, and I think there was a big contrast in how Tipperary used the win. They were just driving it down there, hoping something would happen. Like Seamus Kennedy trying pot shots, you know. Like, I mean, I don't think Tipperary used that wind in anywhere near the same kind of controlled manner that Galway did. And I thought that was a big improvement, because I know Micheál Donoghue, when he was the Galway manager, they probably would have just got it down there as well, would they? I think yesterday, to me, there was a bit of a difference in how Galway were approaching. Now, maybe they have to. They've no Johnny Glynn and they've no Joe Cooney and they've no fellas who you could probably drive it down to.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, it's all, you can drive it down to someone in the edge of the box, Colin. If you have a big man in there that's willing to put up his hand and catch it or even live off the breaks, which John McGrath got a goal from. That's an example of living off the break and you get a goal. But sometimes you've got to play to the strength of the players inside. Like, there's no point playing a high ball into Nyland. Like, he's a small player. No more than, I wouldn't think Brian Kilcannon would be the greatest man as well in the year, right? So you've got to play to the strength of the team. So hitting in 70, 30 balls, I think, is very important. Or what you ever hear the lads saying, working the ball through the line or carrying it and giving them the hand pass. So, like, hopefully this will be something, because that type of play is lovely type of hurling to watch. Clare used to do it a couple of years ago as well. They've gone kind of more to a direct route maybe this year. But the likes of Kilkenny had to change their style as well, remember, in the last 2 years to try suit the players inside. But I personally like the 70-30 ball. I used to love it. You could be on the edge of the square, Colin, like this, and next thing you see one of the lads getting the ball, and next thing you make a run and it's driven out into the space where you're coming to run onto it. And Tip are big ad. They were very big ad in last year's championship. Now, didn't do it yesterday, but Tip are going to get better. Simple as that. They're going to get better when it comes to summer. But hopefully it's the start of something good for Galway.
The thing about Tipperary, though, and like, I mean, you talk about Tip are going to get better, and that's what everybody says. But, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, Tip weren't favourites for the All-Ireland last year. After Limerick hammered them in the Munster final, they played against Laois and they weren't fancied at all. And then they got a spark. I'm not sure Tipperary are the team that can show no form at all and then just turn it on like a tap. I'm not sure if they're playing a smart game along. Like, the analysis right now is that, oh, Tipperary are just bubbling along and they're timing their run and all this kind of thing. But Tipperary are a weird crowd. Like, I mean, their confidence, for some reason, when things start going wrong for them, they don't necessarily respond that well to it. So, like, I mean, putting all their eggs into the championship basket, I don't know. I suppose, then again, like Liam Sheedy said after the game last year, they lost the quarter final to Dublin. So maybe it's not all doom and gloom, you know, and they can turn it around. But they lost to Dublin in a quarter final last year. They played well in the Munster Championship, but they also got hammered by Limerick in the Munster final. It's hard to know. I know Liam Sheedy is the right man to have them to get them fully right. But look, I think, like Brendan Cummins said last night on the League Sunday show, a lot of this will be hindsight kind of stuff, depending on how the Munster Championship goes.
Yeah, well, the only thing is, Colm, you said Liam Sheedy's going to really nail it to them now. So he's a whip now to hit them with. They didn't hurl well yesterday, right? But what did Liam Sheedy want to get out of this league campaign? I personally don't think he has any real interest in the league, right? But what did he find? He found a couple of players. So he found Dylan Quirk, you know, simple as that. He has Keane Darcy found. He also gave Joe Brown a match. He looked at Paul Maher, so he did a cornerback. He has Bonner Maher coming back into the squad, seeing me back. He's Brendan Maher to come back into the squad. He has players come back. And then his lads that didn't hurl well yesterday, they can also hit with the stick. So, you know, I thought your man could have been better, Brian Hogan. The likes of Bubbles Dwyer didn't play well. Noel McGrath didn't play well yesterday. Yeah, he was poor. So these lads, you know, Shamie Canlan, even through his own fierce high standard. So,
but they got no ball. They got no ball. Like, in fairness to Bubbles and Shamie Canlan, they didn't even get a supply of ball with the wind. Never mind against the wind. So, like, I mean, it was just the way Tipperary didn't play that the conditions well at all.
But that's why he has stuff to work on, and he gets the best out of him. But you're right. But I said it before, Colin. I thought Limerick were the team that should have won the All Ireland last year, and they blew it against Kilkenny. They really did, you know, because Limerick showed Tipperary's real faults in last year's Munster final. Like, they were all over them, you know. And you speak about Noel McGrath. Like, Noel McGrath was taken off in that game. Limerick were all over them, so they were. But Tipperary, they start training really hard now, said Will, you know. And I still think they'll be very, very dangerous. I don't think they'll win the All Ireland this year, Tip, but they will be very, very dangerous.
Yeah, I don't think they'll win the All-Ireland either. Do you think it's a weird one? They're going on holiday on the train. I'm going to say holidays. They're going on the training camp this week. Like, I mean, coming after whatever Limerick did it, all right, in a week's gap, and then coming up to the Westmead game, no disrespect, but you could see some logic to when they plan theirs. So Tipperary's, Yesterday was a yesterday was meant to be the quarter final weekend. So, like, I mean, maybe Tipperary weren't planning on being in a quarter final at all if they're planning, because the way I'm thinking, they're landing over wherever they're landing today. Sure, today's a write off day; they have to recover, and tomorrow they'll still be a bit stiff. It doesn't sound, it doesn't sound to me like the Monday after a potential quarter final was a good time to go. Maybe they were planning on never being in the quarter final, and we're after cracking it here.
That's why I said I don't think it really bothers Liam Sheedy that much not getting to it. So now, if they did beat Galway, they'd be coming back from a week's training for the Wood and have to face into Wexford. Now their whole training week can now go back to what he really wants of it, where maybe it's a lot of physical running, get lads fit. He said he's behind. You know, and they probably are behind the scenes.
Yesterday, it's been put forward a week. So yesterday was supposed to be the quarter final. Do you get me? The matches next week were supposed to be on this weekend. Only these games were deferred. So they actually planned to go on holidays the Monday after a league quarter final. Do you know what I mean?
Doesn't make sense. Yeah, you're 100%. He's going to train them hard. I'm telling you, Colin, he's going to train the lard out in Tipperary, lads. And if anyone can get the best out of him, it's Liam Sheedy. That's the long and short of it. And he wants to find a couple of players, and I think he's found the likes of Dylan Quirk and Darcy. These lads, I think they're good players, and he'll need them all. Jerome Cahill as well, another good young player as well. He'll get the best out of him, so he will.
Yeah, no, exactly. We were worried about Shane Cooney going off injured yesterday. Apparently, you'll know this better than me, he's an injury-prone type of player, because it looks to me like Shane O'Neill might be settling on that half-back line of Pádraig Mannion, Shane Cooney and Fintan Burke.
Yeah, and the two boys, Fintan Burke and Shane Cooney, are from St. Thomas's.
Yeah.
So they are, and they're two good players as well. Like, if you remember, they've been hurling very well as well for St. Thomas's. So I was wondering why they were taking him off, Colin, but then I seen him limping off.
He's limping, yeah.
So as you said, he's been a good find now, and they've given him game time. So they have, and them two guys in fairness have hurled extremely well in the halfback line. So once again, it's more options. It's making it competitive as well for the team. You know, and then you said if Dahi Burke was back full back, McInerney has to go back out into the halfback line, which is putting more pressure on who's going to make the team. So it's good competition for places. But them two players have been going very well during this league campaign, and it's good to see them getting a run.
Yeah, no, definitely is. Talking about Tipperary going off for holidays, it's just brought my attention to what, like, Don Logue was saying on League Sunday last night. He was being asked, I just saw those quotes, I watched some of League Sunday, I didn't see it all. He was being asked about the league and how it just kind of a lot of it goes through the motions, and it's, you know, an awful lot of players being tried out. And he said, is that not what the league should be? It's your secondary competition. Look at it from a playing point of view. The skills are no less. The players are enjoying it. They're expressing themselves. And I can see the point he's trying to make here. But, like, I mean, your secondary competition doesn't mean that it's treated in a way that a team books a holiday in between, or a training camp in between a quarter final and a semi final. It doesn't like, it's 8 games of the year. Like, it's the biggest chunk of the whole year that is non-competitive for 5 games of it, until teams realise that they're, you know, maybe in a quarter final or whatever. Like, I mean, I don't know. I think there has to be a better way to do the league. I think you can't sleepwalk for most of the championship. He's talking about, like, it doesn't seem to be affecting the attendances or the media interest and stuff. Like, I mean, that is because it's the league. But if it continues on the same path, like, we have warm-up competitions in January for that reason, to make 10 changes in a game, to try lads out in different positions. Your league and your championship are the two big competitions. I don't agree with everybody being okay with just the league that is okay for 8 changes from 1 week to 1 week, nobody knowing whether they're coming or going, nobody knowing if a team cares about winning it or not. I think that's a complete disservice to the National League, and I wouldn't think Allianz would be too happy about it. They're sponsoring it a long time, and the fact that it's 8 games to win it, that's too long to be shadow boxing, you know, within the year.
Yeah, well, Brian Cody always said it was the second biggest competition in the in the league calendar year, so he didn't. He used to always take it very seriously, always said it. But I would agree with you. Just because you're trying out, lads, doesn't mean that you shouldn't be putting in the effort. But, like, the league is meant to be there to find players. But you're right. There's been, you know, there's been that water, you know, the crystal thing there with, say, the Munster League to try out other players. But you've got to find a squad. But you have to take it serious. And as you said, Allianz wouldn't be too happy if lads were playing down the whole National League thing. You know, I have two National Hurling League medals, and honoured to say that I have them.
They were big, you know, back then, yeah. It was a bigger competition back then than it is now. And I think a lot of it, and we said this on the show before, is a lot of it is now because the Championship is a league. So the league is much inferior league to the Championship league, and that's definitely affected interest in the league. And then you have a break for a month in April, which is new as well. So you have a combination of the Championship being a league and a much better league. You have a combination of club-only April month. And then you have a situation where the National League, which was once a really competitive league. Geez, I remember Division 1 used to be an incredibly competitive league, because the whole narrative around it was, if you don't go well in the league, you won't go well in the Championship, because that was Brian Cody's philosophy. And now you have a situation where, other than Cody, Davy Fitz, like, John Kiely wants to win every game. They've just an incredible squad. But John Kiely's making 8 changes game on game. It's mad. You know, like, from an analysis point of view, you couldn't really be reading into any of the games other than potentially now.
Well, that's exactly, because lads now can say, so now they have a chance maybe to get into a league final. We might as well start taking the series. But the likes of John Kiely making 8 changes to teams, he's just giving lads a run as well. But he's also trying to keep the squad happy, you know. And you can see the teams that are kind of really trying to win it. You know, the teams that like to maybe push on, like the Wexford. I can see Wexford really trying to push on to win the league this year. Limerick has such a competition for places, that what happens is you pick the team and lads are just standing up to the mark and really putting in good performances and getting wins. Kilkenny are trying out new players because the Ballyhale lads weren't there for a while, and they're trying to push on and try and make places. But, like, this thing of not caring about the league, like, that's absolute load of rubbish. But you have to try out players. But lads can still be fierce competitive and try to win matches without, you know, making 7 or 8 changes and going to look for trying out players. During the league, I find that can often be an excuse. Or, you know, Dublin have used that for the last 2 seasons, that the main focus in the league was that we blooded players and we tried out players. Like, you know, at the end of the day, you're playing matches to win them. That's it, Colin. And that was my philosophy. Games are there to be played, they're there to be won.
Yeah, and I do think that if the league continues in its current format, while, like Donal Oak said, the interest is still there now, will it still be there in 4 years' time? I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure if the league continues on with Westmeath in one group where you know that they're the bottom team, and the other teams then Tipperary's, Limerick's able to book holidays because they know that they're not in any bother in relegation. For me, I think that's an outrageous way to treat the National League, and that I think that they'll have no choice but to change it back and have some sort of a trapdoor out of Division 1A. Do you know, or else what? You know, yeah, or else.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Colm. You know, your argument is completely right, and I couldn't agree with you more. You know, there's always one kind of escape team that, you know, if you're going to beat them, you're safe. You know, and we can try out these. So I couldn't agree with you more, Colm.
Yeah, exactly right. We'll come back with performance of the weekend.
A lot of people do say, what do you love about hunting? They do say, is it the fresh air? Is it the great outdoors? Is it the thrill? No. I just love killing things, right? Absolutely.
Performance of the weekend, and the first nomination here is Garrod Hegarty, Damien. Like, I mean, I was saying on the show here recently, I think he's arguably Limerick's most important player. 1-5, incredible goal. And as John Kiely said after the game, he was struggling to get into the game at that stage, and he actually admitted it himself, I was struggling to get on the ball before that, and there was a long ball hit in on top of Doughty Dempsey. I know he's decent in the air, so I said I'd make a run off him. So, like, I mean, that was exactly it. It was like, when you know that these balls are going in, you can time your runs off them. Like, I suppose from your point of view, being a corner forward and you're standing around and you don't know if the half back now, if he's going to go for a pint, if he's going to, you know, balloon it in or what he's going to do. But when you know Keane Lynch is going to give that diagonal ball, you know David Dempsey's probably going to catch it, you know exactly what your role in that situation is, and that's to make a supporting run.
Yeah, well, I thought your man Hegarty was brilliant yesterday. One fight and play was unbelievable. And the one thing about him is he looks fierce slow in matches, but he's so deceptive. He has such long legs. It's unbelievable. And his fitness levels are incredible as well, Colm. He's getting around the park, and I think he is one of Limerick's main players. He plays wing forward, but he comes out into the middle of the field for the battle fighters, and he wins an awful lot of ball. And one fight back, he pint on the sideline yesterday.
Oh yeah,
that was an unbelievable.
It looked wide, that one, though.
That was unbelievable. Maybe it was wide. I don't know. It was given as a pint, but it was just.
It was the flick.
It was the flick hand strike motion, real fast. It was just unbelievable, you know. And as I said, just to give on the goal, like the goal he scored was just absolutely brilliant goal, you know. And just give Dempsey a bit of credit there. Dempsey caught the ball. Seen him come and laid it off unselfishly. I think Dempsey's going to be a huge find as well in there. But Hegarty, his performance was just brilliant. I'm delighted because sometimes these players that can often be the workhorse of the team, you know, don't get the praise they deserve. And he had a great game yesterday. But he's a step. You think he's slow, but by Jesus, he's not slow. He's such long legs.
Yeah.
Like, he's getting around the park.
Oh, they're so big and rangy. When you look at him and you look at Kyle Hayes and you look at Boylan and you look at Keane Lynch, who's built like a bull. You know, you have Willie Donoghue in around that. I know he wasn't there yesterday. Limerick are a monstrous team in around that middle third. Look at their half-back line. Burns, Hannan and Morrissey. Sure, they're three monstrous men as well. Like, I mean, yeah. These lads, the physicality of them, and they hunt in packs and... Like, to be honest, I thought they made Waterford are a small little team, and they've no defined.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't seem to have any defined way of playing. They seem to be trying to run everything down the middle, and in the Championship, that's not going to work. Like, for example, with Waterford, you saw none of the type of controlled ball that Limerick or Galway play into the full forward line. Like, I mean, it all seems to be just there's no pattern to their play. You could watch that game again. And you could say, yeah. What are they actually trying to do here? What's their defined game plan? And it's hard to find. It's hard. I know they're missing lads, but it is hard to see a pattern in their play.
Yeah, well, just going back to the shape of the Limerick players, right? First of all, I think the physical condition of this Limerick player is unbelievable. And the one thing I noticed about nearly every one of them, the chest on them.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. The shape they're in, you know, and they're training fierce hard. I know well they are. They have something to prove this year, the Limerick fight. But just going back to the Limerick water game, I thought Limerick were kind of playing with them. Like that's the best.
They hammered them. Like they hammered them. Yeah, they hammered Waterford.
You're 100%. Yeah, it is. You know, the scoreline didn't reflect the way the game was played, you know. But like you said, Waterford are missing players. They are missing players, you know. And, like Liam Cahill came out and he said like that both players and management learned an awful lot. I just don't know. I'm in the same way as I was last year. I don't see Waterford going anywhere this year. That's just me. I know they're missing players, but I think Limerick are going places this year, and I think they're finding players for new positions and they're trying out lads and they're strengthening their squad. And I think Limerick are going to win the All Ireland this year. That's my opinion. But Garrow Chagney, super performance, and the Limerick players are in super shape and they're in a great place at the moment.
They've come a long way since you were writing them off here on this show 3 years ago, haven't they?
Yeah, but new management came in since. new management came in since. And you're right, Limerick were in a bad place that time. I don't care what anyone says, but everything has changed. Their attitudes, their skill levels, their conditioning. Knurk has gone in as a coach. They now try to win every game. They come across as fierce down to level players. I love the way they hurled. They hit the 70-30 ball. They carried. But I like an awful lot of things about Limerick. If I had one fault to Limerick, I would say I still have question marks. I still have question marks over their fullback. That's my only at the moment.
Mike Casey.
So, you know, I think sometimes. He's a bit slow. I think, the likes of what's it called, the Galway player? Geez, left hand top. We're talking about
Conor Whelan.
I think Whelan would cause him off problems in open space. He would, but that's just me.
He probably would, but you'd find it wouldn't be him that would mark him. Do you know what I mean? They would make sure Finn is around. Yeah. English is, but Declan Hannan gives that fullback line an awful lot of cover as well. And then you've Kyle Hayes and you've Gerard Hegarty and Tom Morrissey picking up his man because they flood that middle third. They have their defensive. You never see Limerick getting exposed. There is no way Limerick would allow what happened Tipperary yesterday happen for more. It might happen for 5 minutes, but that would be corrected immediately by Kinnerk.
Yeah, I see what to do is you're right. You're after watching the game there, and you're after analysing it. They pack the defence when the ball is in defence, right? And what they do then, Colm, is when they get the ball, you'll see all the stick hands.
Yeah.
Once you get the ball to hands, you're allowing players to make their way back up the field, you know. And then what they do is when they get the ball, then they hit the two boys. They always play two inside. And Aitken, they're hitting the ball down the flank or into the space, you know, and you have Aaron Glan or Graham Mulcahy, you know, running. And then then they had Dempsey in full forward if they wanted to hit a long range into the full forward. And so Limerick have a nice game plan now at the moment, and everyone knows their job. And I think Limerick are a lovely team to watch as well.
Yeah, no, they definitely are. They're fantastic to watch. Killian Doyle was outstanding for Westmeath. We spoke about him with Shane O'Brien. 1:14. So he got a sideline at a really important time. He got a goal. He got one, two from play and 1:14 in total. So an outstanding performance by him. Brian Concannon down here as well. Damien, who got 4 from play. We've kind of touched on him already. I think he got a point on the 44th minute where he controlled the ball on the hurl rather than catch it and took the sting out of it completely, and it just popped up into his hand. Do you remember that? Like, I mean, he definitely has all. He's got all the skills, this fella. And then out under the stand, throws one up over his shoulder. He did an array, set up the two goals. You know, like, I mean, he had an outstanding performance.
So, just to say about Killian Doyle as well, 1:14. Just to say, in conditions like that, Colm, absolutely savage. That's number one. Just to say, well done to him. Unbelievable performance. And then we're on about
Brian Concannon. Well, no, he set up one of the goals, rather.
Yeah, but Colcannon's a good hurler, so he's able to hurl, and I said he's not afraid to take a shot, and he's only going to get better. It's his third season in there, you know, and this management team are really after giving him kind of his go, as in, you know, giving him his opportunity. So I think he's nailed down the corner forward position. He got 4 brilliant points yesterday. Let's call a spade, and his last one was top notch. Like, and at that stage, he had a wet jersey on him. He was after a big, massive shower. Hurled really, really well yesterday. I thought he was extremely dangerous. And it hasn't just been yesterday. Like, he is taking on balls, and he's created goal chances and everything. So he has, you know, and he could have created another goal there yesterday. But he's got to learn from that. But he had a very, very good performance yesterday.
What to make of Cottle Mannion's finish for his goal? It was brilliant, because usually most players would go the other side.
Well, see, most players would go the other side, and also Hogan was expecting him to go the other side. But if you just watch him, when Nyland gave him the hand pass, he carried the ball in, and you see him looking the head up, and he's seeing the inside, and he went near post, you know. And being honest, he made Brian Hogan look stupid.
Yeah,
you know,
There wasn't much to aim at there. There was only probably a foot between him, between Brian Hogan and that post. But like, Brian Hogan's weight was going on his other foot to go the other way.
It was a top class finish. Simple as that. All the top forwards, I'm telling you here and now, would have went to that corner or would have went up to the top corner of the other side. But that was a great goal. You cannot underestimate that strike. That was a brilliant finish.
And yet you'd have to say about him, when he's running in to that goal, he's just completely calm. He's completely got ice in his mind, and he just takes the tap onto his hand. There looks like there's no panic. He's not even going full speed. He's going maybe 3/4 because he knows he's in a bit of space. And then he gets a look at the goalkeeper, and he's weighing all this up in his head, and he goes near post. Like, I mean, he's just so used to doing that just can't. He didn't panic in that situation, because sometimes when you have too much time, like, you know, you're wondering what are you going to do with it, and you could make a balls of it.
No. He's a very, very good forward. So, you know, and yesterday I'd say he got a little bit frustrated yesterday. So he was, because often I find when he gets frustrated, he gets kind of involved in a lot of niggles, and you know, he got involved in a little bit of a row just before that.
Yeah, Barry Heffernan.
It was kind of a frustrating game for him. They played him midfield, but yesterday they played him wing forward. So, and you know, that was his real opportunity just to kind of get a score. So, but not to underestimate Niall and Pat as well, you know, was great. But he's very cool. He's very relaxed. But the big thing about him as well, Colm, is he's a very natural striker of the ball,
yeah,
both left and right. And he's a lovely striker of the ball, actually. But that was a great goal. Just, you know, that was a brilliant finish, near side, top class.
Yeah, winner of performance of the weekend has to go to Conor Whelan. I thought his all-around performance was absolutely phenomenal, and we're not going to get back into Conor because we spent enough time. Usually I don't start the show with an individual performance, but he was just so good yesterday, I just had to. So we've used up all our information and all our comments on Conor Whelan, but he wins performance of the weekend. Very, very close call between him and Grode Hegarty. Another little bit of news, Damien, is Frank Hogan, whose demand that goes to all the games and holds up the John 3-7 sign. He's died. So condolences to his family. I have a John 3-7 sign here in the studio because it's iconic at GAA matches. And the man travelled to the length and breadth of the country and he was behind one of the goals on the terrace. He got banned out of Croke Park for a little while and then got left back in. But I think John 7 reads, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Whatever that means. I'm not a religious person, Damien, but I'm sure you've seen Frank in action. He's a tip man. I think he lived in Limerick.
Yeah, but he's been going to games for years and years and years. And it wasn't just the big games. He went to the small games, the Mickey Mouse games, the Railway Cup games, the league games, the football games. He went to them all. So he was there in my time and he was there before me as well. And he was still going to matches even up to say the current year. So he was. So look, he will be missed. You know, it will be missed. So he will. So all you can say is Lord mercy him and rest in peace. And he didn't do any harm to anyone. So I said, yeah, I was well used to seeing the sign.
Yeah, like everybody was. Right, we'll leave it there, Damien. Thanks very much. We'll be back on Thursday and we'll preview these two quarterfinals next weekend. We'll talk to you then. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today. Because, like, I'm heartbroken.